Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
What's going on, everybody? Sean Wally here with Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express. Another exciting week of sports. Let's get right to it, Sean.
Well, yeah, definitely it's exciting right now. Game number one of the NBA Western Conference Finals here in Northern California. The epicenter being Oakland, California. The Golden State Warriors taking on a team that used to be the Seattle Supersonics, now the OKC Thunder. The Golden State Warriors up 60-47 at the half, Sean Wally.
Well, that is good news for everybody in the 206-253-425, even 360, and I will extend that to 509 because nobody, and I mean nobody in the Pacific Northwest, wants to see the former Seattle Supersonics or the team that would still be the Seattle Supersonics win a championship out of OKC.
Well, you know, the Warriors are taking care of business. The Splash Brothers have exploded again and won Washington State University, former Washington State University Cougar in Klay Thompson. It's just been lighting it up in the first half, Sean Wally. So, 13-point lead for the Warriors.
Now, Sean, should this be a matchup that is close and goes 5, 6, 7 games? Or do you see one of the two teams bringing the hammer early?
Well, you know, you never want to, I mean, especially in the Western Conference or Eastern and Western Conference Finals, these two teams got there, or four teams got there for a reason. So, you know, you don't anticipate sweeps. The Golden State Warriors are the best team in the NBA, touting 73 wins, and OKC coming in with 55 regular season wins. But OKC has been playing top-notch basketball here in the postseason, of course, defeating the San Antonio Spurs 4-2 in the last series. Man, this one's going to be close, I think, Sean. Even though the Warriors are taking care of business early, I think this one could go 7 games.
So there's been the debate for a couple of years, who is better, Russell Westbrook or KD, Kevin Durant, both of whom were Seattle Supersonic draft picks, even though Westbrook doesn't want you to know that.
Well, I think that both of the players are extremely talented basketball players. Of course, KD standing at 6'10", wingspan at 7'2", so he's very tough to guard. You know, and of course, when growing up, KD was obviously shorter. He played guard, you know, in middle school and I believe a little bit of high school. So he has he's extremely talented for a big man. So, you know, I would give him the nod as far as being, if out of the two, which ones are the better players. But you can't take anything away from Russell Westbrook. Very gritty point guard. He's one of those hybrid guards that are coming out now. He looks to score first. The only thing about Russell Westbrook is that I think he's sporadic in his play. He tries so hard and he's very passionate, but he's not a, I don't think he uses his head the way that he should. I think, and what I mean by that is he makes bad decisions at inopportune times. So, you know, even though they're very talented, KD and Russell Westbrook, I would say that Kevin Durant is definitely the better out of the two.
I would completely agree with you, Sean, not only because I'm partially a little bit maybe biased because KD was drafted a year earlier than Westbrook in Seattle, and Westbrook, of course, is known for saying, I do not want to play for Seattle. Why? I have no idea. You've got KD, regardless whether you're in the 206 or whatever area code OKC is in, yet those two are together. whether they're in Seattle or OKC, and they're a dynamic duo.
Yeah, you know, there was once upon a time with this OKC team, they had the likes of Jeff Green. Jeff Green, a phenomenal basketball player out of Georgetown, and he's a kind of a journeyman right now, but they had Jeff Green. They had James Harden along with Russell Westbrook and KD all at the same time. And they just couldn't get along because there's not enough basketballs on the court for those four players. And I believe at that time, Sean, that was their best opportunity. I'm not taking anything away from them now because Adams, their big man in the middle, does a phenomenal job and they have the right pieces with that are put in place. But, you know, I just think the Golden State Warriors are a little bit better right now.
And Sean, we will find out in the coming days and weeks which NBA team is best. But right now, let's go out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in Matt Snyder from CBSSports.com. Matt, Baseball Writers Association of America, covering the MLB for CBS Sports. Matt, thanks for your time tonight.
Sure thing. Unfortunately, it's been kind of boring. We haven't had any right cross or anything. So... Down, bit of a down day.
Man, Matt, you took the words right out of my mouth, man. I wanted to talk to you about that, the melee that went on yesterday between the Blue Jays and the Rangers. Now, there's no love lost between those two.
None. I think it was surprising it lasted that long, and quite frankly, this was the last game they're going to play in the regular season. That was last at bat of Jose Bautista. That's kind of weak timing, really. I mean, if you're stewing over this bat flip for 7 months, just hit him the first time you see him. You want to try to play Mr. Tough Guy, then do it right away. Don't stall. But otherwise, you know, it wasn't that surprising that it happened. Odor's shot was very surprising, though. I mean, that was probably the cleanest, hardest punch that I can ever think of seeing on a baseball field. I mean, I think about, like, a lot of people brought up Nolan Ryan, but those were, like, a lot of short, quick shots, and I think a lot of it was kind of overblown because of how old Nolan Ryan was and because it's freaking Nolan Ryan. And also Michael Barrett, I remember he hit A.J. Pierzynski. That one, it was a pretty decent shot, but, man, Odor got all of that, and kudos to Bautista for not even getting knocked down on that thing. That would have knocked out most people, I think.
Oh my gosh! So for our listeners who don't know what we're talking about, baseball game, you have to be under a rock to not see this. Texas Rangers, Toronto Blue Jays yesterday. Jose Bautista, everybody knows about the infamous bat flip, and he takes one in the ribs and takes his base, and then he goes into second. And slides, and it looks like he literally tried to take out Ronald Odor. And Odor, like you said, man, just clocks him with a right cross. And now, correct me if I'm wrong, did Jose Bautista try to grab at Odor's beard as he was getting punched?
I'm not sure about that. I thought it looked like he was putting his dukes up, and he was getting ready to hit Odor himself. And Odor just... for lack of a better term, beat him to the punch. I got to say, that slide, it was a bit much. I think last year we would have been saying it was questionable. This year with the new rules in place, especially since Bautista cost his team a game in Tampa Bay earlier in the season, I think we can say, in lieu of what the rule is now, that he's already committed it and that he was probably very mad about being hit by a pitch, that I think we can call that dirty. I think we're well within our rights to call that dirty.
Oh, yeah, you better believe it. Now, of course, Bautista gets hit at his last at-bat, and these two teams don't play each other for the rest of the year. So, yeah, I would teeter on the side of that was very, very cowardice on the Texas Rangers part.
Yeah, there was a whole lot of really wrong and dumb going on. But at the end of the day, we were all greatly entertained, so I don't know if that would really change anything. I mean, that's the thing. Like, nobody got hurt. You know, I know a lot of people are talking about the risk for injury, but Bautista's fine. So, I mean, at the end of the day, the way I look at it is, hey, we got to entertain. Odor's got to get banged for, 10 to 15 games probably, and that's fine. And you know what I would say, though? Bautista was getting ready to load up himself. If you're going to punish guys for throwing punches, let's punish the guys who are at least trying to throw a punch and not just totally focus on the guy who was a lot better at it. I mean, Bautista wanted to throw a punch, too. Odor was just way better at it. So should he really get that many more games just for being a better puncher?
Yeah. Now, between you and me, Matt, I'm probably hitting the deck on that punch. So you got to give it to Bautista because he took that like a champ.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he was trying to get back after it, but he had to slow dance with Adrian Beltre the rest of the time. So that was another interesting aspect of it to me is Adrian Beltre is one of the most respected players throughout baseball at this point in his career. And the fact that as angry as Jose Bautista was, he didn't seem to be making a great effort to get away from Beltre, since it was Beltre who had his arms around him holding him back. And those are guys on different teams. So I thought that was very, very interesting.
Matt Snyder talking a mix of baseball and MMA. A little bit of cage match going on between the Blue Jays and the Rangers. And, of course, dealing with the AL West, the Rangers battling the Mariners right now for the top spot in the AL West. And right now, by half a game, the Rangers are in the lead, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, that's not too surprising. I think if you looked at what everybody thought it was going to be heading into the year, you kind of look, the Angels aren't very good. Yeah, the A's aren't very good. Those were probably to be expected. But then the Astros sitting there in last place with a terrible start. I'm kind of kicking myself about that one. I'm kind of aggravated with myself that I couldn't see the rotation was going to be a problem. And the Mariners, obviously, are one of the most pleasantly surprising teams so far this year. But maybe they shouldn't be that surprising because go back to 2 years ago, they were a game away from getting into the playoffs. And then last year, they just took a huge step back. But it's a lot of the same personnel. The thing that DePoto did, I mean, he made, it seemed like, a million trades in the offseason. But he was tweaking the outside edges of the roster to make it more flexible for his new manager and get faster and get younger and kind of revamp the bullpen, which was a huge problem last year. A lot of the core guys were the guys who we expected to be better last year. So it shouldn't be that surprising. But, yeah, the Rangers being at the top, that's not surprising. I think it'll be fun if they duke it out all year, the Rangers and Mariners. I especially think it'll be fun if the Mariners are in the mix for a long time because, look, we've had this 3 years in a row. You had the Pirates breaking that long drought of not having a winning record. Then you had the Royals breaking the longest playoff drought in baseball. And then last year, the longest playoff drought in baseball was the Blue Jays. Well, now it's the Mariners, so it's their turn. I think it would be really cool if 4 years in a row we saw some huge drought broken.
Matt, do you think the Mariners have all of the parts that are necessary to make a playoff run and end that drought that goes back to 2001, the last time Seattle made the playoffs?
Well, you'd always like to get more bullpen depth. There's no question about that. Every single team in baseball would say that. I'd like to see kind of the back end of the rotation firmed up. I still have confidence Iwakuma will. I've never been a big Wade Miley fan, so maybe at some point you'd look to replace Miley. But it might not be that big of a deal. They've been getting by with very, very good pitching, despite Miley posting a 4.91 ERA, and that's not horrible. It's not like he's in the sixes like half the Astros rotation was for a while. Offensively, I'm sure there's things that they could add. And, what I would say overall is I think that they have a guy in place who's going to be very good at finding complementary pieces instead of trying to steamroll teams into making these huge moves that they don't want to do, which, as you guys know full well, being from up there, that was a problem with the past administration. Now I think you have a guy who, again, is not going to be shy about tweaking the edges of this roster and making it better. So, as currently constructed, maybe there'd be a few issues. I think they can hang in it, and I think that come July, they're going to make some quality additions as well.
Matt Snyder, CBS MLB Insider, joining us here on The Double, talking about the Mariners and the strong ties with Sean Wally and myself in the Pacific Northwest. Now, Matt, for myself, it's a wait and see product, the Seattle Mariners. I mean, Sean Wally mentioned going all the way back to 2001. That's when the Mariners touted the best record in the majors ever, and it was very disappointing, an early exit in the playoffs. And so, you know, it's going to be a wait and see for me. You know, the Seattle Mariners for me right now are kind of like that Dallas Cowboy moniker. You know, it's just kind of an accident waiting to happen. So we'll wait and see.
The one thing I would say about 2001 is, first of all, the playoffs are a total crapshoot in this day and age where you have to go multiple rounds, and it's even worse now with the play-in wild card game. You look at the 100-win Cardinals last year, they had to face the Cubs, who just won the wild card game, but that Cubs team won 97 games, so it's not like they were any slouch, and they had been better down the stretch anyway. Secondly, they were facing a dynasty, so it's not like the Mariners just totally choked in 2001. That was the dynasty Yankees, so it was just bad timing, you know, almost more than anything else.
Yeah, most definitely.
I'm just trying to ease your mind a little bit. Yeah. You know?
Most definitely. And so, hey, ease my mind in here in Northern California as far as the, oh my goodness, the Oakland A's. You know, it's we know about, you know, Moneyball and all of that crazy stuff, but it just seems like year in and year out, the A's fans get their hearts ripped out. Some major superstar gets, you know, sent off someplace, and we're stuck down here with what ifs and what could be and, you know, a bunch of magic beans.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that needs to get solved is the stadium situation. Once that happens, they should be able to start paying players at least a little bit better. I mean, if you look at, like, the Pirates, for example, right now, they extended Andrew McCutchen. You know, it was early, but you have to do that. You have to go out and you have to get the club-friendly contracts. I mean, I think the first template for that was Evan Longoria with the Rays. The Pirates went out and did that with Andrew McCutchen, and just this year they did that with Gregory Polanco, and he's already rewarding them with a breakout season. The A's could have started to do that with players like Josh Donaldson if they had a better stadium situation, but once Donaldson fully broke out and was an MVP candidate, now it was too late for them. So I think they'll be able to get ahead of a few more of those things if the stadium situation ever gets resolved and they can move out of I think it's just the Coliseum now. They keep changing the name. Yeah. If they can ever move out of there, or at least be left there alone and be able to make improvements, like remove Mount Davis. Now, like, no more Raiders, remove Mount Davis from center field. Now there's a few looking out. Maybe start to deal with some of the plumbing issues and all of that, which is kind of embarrassing, but also kind of funny. Just overall, it's just a bad situation. The stadium is totally crippling both them and the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting with the stadium issue. You mentioned the Oakland Raiders as well. You know, it seems like the Oakland A's are kind of waiting it out and letting the Raiders dig a ditch for themselves and possibilities that they'll move out of town. But do you see the Oakland A's actually staying put in that actual location, or do you think they'd probably find someplace else in the Bay to play?
It's possible that they could stay there because they've been looking for years for places all over, I mean, from San Jose to anywhere inside Oakland. They've been trying, and they've been getting zero cooperation. They can't find places in Oakland that anybody is going to help them pay for. Not that they should, but that's been one of their requests. And they did have a place in San Jose, but the Giants contested that because it's part of the Giants' territory. So now they started looking like, hey, can we go to Las Vegas or anywhere else? I think Mexico City got bought up at one point. But then Major League Baseball is not letting them do that. Major League Baseball is basically saying you have to try to make this work in Oakland, and they're not having much success in dealing with Oakland. So they've been beaten down on this subject for years to the point where, as you said, they're kind of forced to just kind of wait the Raiders out and see what's going on, and maybe when the Raiders do move that they can just try to tweak what they have. It's not a great situation, but other stadiums have renovated themselves and made themselves more modern before. We've seen it multiple times. Fenway Park's a very good example. If you walk around Fenway, like, playing surface-wise, how close the seats are to each other, locker room-wise, you can tell it's old. But they've updated a lot of the concourses and everything. So it's possible, especially since the Coliseum's not near that old.
Matt Snyder with us from CBSSports.com, the baseball Writers Association of America, writer for CBS Sports. Matt, you talk about what's going on with the stadium in Oakland, and you reference what the Red Sox have to deal with at Fenway Park. Yes, they've added what they can and upgrades and making things a little more relevant to this century, as in terms of modernization instead of what happened, you know, 100 years ago when the place was built.
Yeah.
I was actually able to tour Fenway Park in the last few months, and there's a lot of it that does look old, yet you're also hit with that nostalgia. So where do you draw that line and say nostalgia is great, but we also have to, you know, come to the 2016, 2017, 2020 instead of, you know, the opposing team in Fenway Park, as I'm sure you know, has to go through the actual public to get to the field.
Yeah, that's one of the most unbelievable things to me, is to walk through the concourse as an opposing team. You know, what's funny is the other real nostalgic ballpark, I think that at Wrigley Field, the Ricketts family ownership group, that's what they're trying to do. They put in the two big video boards. Yeah, I don't know if you've seen, but the Cubs' new clubhouse this year is ridiculous. It's probably one of the best clubhouses in baseball now. And they went from probably having the worst, because I think the Red Sox at Fenway was actually better. So they went from the worst to the best. They're continuing to kind of go around in a circle. They started with the bleachers. Remember opening day last year against the Cardinals, the bleachers were covered because they weren't done. They started with the bleachers. They're kind of going around in left field. Now they're building what they call the triangle lot behind third base and left field. And they're just kind of going around the stadium and redoing everything that they can, but leaving in stuff like the old scoreboard in center field, the ivy on the walls, the facade out front. They're trying to get the best of both worlds while preserving the things that old school fans and really anybody who would ever visit Wrigley would hold near and dear to their hearts. So I think that's the best answer if you have a place like that, and really there are only two left in Fenway and Wrigley.
All right, Matt, coming back to the AL West, what do you think it's going to take? Obviously, it's a marathon, 162 games, and the Mariners, the Rangers, battling it out. The Angels came into Seattle and swept them, which really all three games were on the brink until, I mean, you had each team having a lead. Crazy things were happening in the last couple of innings, and the Angels came away with the sweep, yet previously the Mariners swept the Rays in Seattle. So which way is up for the AL West and the Rangers and the Mariners?
Well, it's as you said. It's a marathon. It's a war of attrition. They're going to have a lot of chances at each other. I believe they played twice, two series already, and I think that it's been three each way. Yeah, so do the best you can in the head-to-head games. Try to take care of business against the teams that aren't very good, which, as you just mentioned, that was a failure against the Angels this past weekend, because you want to get at least two or three, especially at home, when you're playing a team like the Angels who had been scuffling so badly to the point that people are talking about trading Mike Trout. So you need to take care of business in those games. Otherwise, it sounds so cliche, but it really does come down to you've got to stay healthy. Injuries can totally derail seasons. You've seen it in recent years with the Mariners pitching staff and leaving Felix about it pretty much on his own sometimes. So you want to try to find a way to stay healthy. When you do have injuries, you hope to have the roster depth and flexibility to deal with it. And I think the Mariners are better equipped to deal with that under DePoto. And then, you know, you just have to get lucky. You have to hope maybe some adversity hits the other teams. You don't necessarily root for injuries, but maybe some big slumps to key guys. And again, you're going to get to the point where you're playing meaningful games in September, and then it's time to go out and take care of business and get the job done. And it looks like, yeah, they don't play the Rangers after the first week in September, but they've got the Rangers for a four-game series at home first week of September. That could be a good time to maybe go out and get three or four and try to put some distance in there. It's just stuff like that. It's a war of attrition. It's a marathon.
Matt Snyder with us from CBSSports.com, Baseball Writers Association of America. Matt,
It is May. Let's have you on. Let's say August-ish. In your crystal ball, who do you think is leading the American League West in August?
I think it'll be the Rangers, but I think the Mariners are going to be in it, and I think they'll be in the wild card race as well. So I think that you're definitely looking at a playoff contending season in Seattle.
Matt Snyder, thank you so much for staying up late back east. Enjoy the rest of the MLB tonight, and we'll talk to you in the next couple months and see what shakes down in Major League Baseball. Thanks for your time, Matt Snyder of CBSSports.com.
Right. Thanks, Matt.
There goes Matt Snyder with covering all things Major League Baseball. Sean, good insight from Matt tonight.
Yeah, he definitely gave some strong, strong kudos to the Seattle Mariners. Of course, this should be one of the years, and last year was supposed to be that year for the Mariners. So we'll just wait and see, but it's great to have Matt Snyder on. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we're going to have guest number two on Austin Downs. So keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on The Double with the Double S Express.
I'm gonna pop some tags, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is awesome.
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds. And since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away. And I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So, guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com. andro400.com. Guys, are you tired of being tired? Frustrated because it seems impossible to lose belly fat? If you're looking for a solution, then listen to Mark.
I had fantastic results with the Andro 400 Max. Probably lost 35 pounds, and more impressive than that was the inches I lost off of my belly and my waist. And the increased energy is fantastic. I'll be totally honest, I tried a different product, and I wasn't happy with the different product. You guys are considerably cheaper than the other brand, and I can really feel the difference.
Andro 400 Max, the extra-strength, all-natural testosterone booster. The safe, easy, and affordable way to gain energy and lose stubborn belly fat. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Feel and look like a new man. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
Are you tired of the gym scene in Tri-Cities, Washington? Tired of seeing all those ridiculous gym selfies? If you are ready to work on a better you, Power Alley Performance is the place you can reach your goals. From one-on-one personal training to group fitness sessions, the trainers at Power Alley Performance will help motivate you every step of the way. Trainers DJ and Lamont have a wealth of knowledge and experience that they are ready to share with you. Call Power Alley today.
Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally with Sean Boyd. And let's welcome in from the HolySmokeNuts.com phone line, Austin Downs from Moses Lake High School in Moses Lake, Washington, an offensive lineman on their football team. Austin, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Hey, Austin, thanks for being on, man. And, it sounds like you've been doing some incredible things. And of course, this time of the year, for you, I mean, you're a junior this year, but you'll be a senior next year, looking to go to one of the big universities. And of course, Eastern Washington is one of the schools looking at you. Are you leaning toward that way? Can you give us a little insight?
Yeah, Eastern Washington is the school that I want to go to. It's my dream school, but nobody's offered me yet, so I'm just waiting on that first offer to come in. And whenever that first offer comes in, then more will start popping in, and it'll give me more choices for college.
Now, of course, the decision-making, going into your senior year is pretty hectic. I'm sure mom and dad are, they're trying to give you the right insight on making the right decision. But, has it been a little overwhelming for you?
Yeah, because most football, schools have good football programs, but some schools don't offer, say, what I want to major in. And Montana State, my parents and I have been talking about me majoring in engineering, and Montana State's got an amazing engineering program. That's what their school is known for. But Eastern Washington, they have an amazing criminal justice program as well. So it's kind of, those are the two majors that I'm thinking about, but it just depends on, what I finally decide on. And Eastern's got an amazing, they have a good engineering program as well. So it's
Austin
just
Downs,
a thinking process right now.
Austin Downs stuck with the brain freeze as if he's had too much of a Slurpee trying to figure out what to do after high school with all of his football talent. And Austin, that football talent on the offensive line, what have you learned in the last year or two? You're a great athlete. You've done amazing things on the field, but you've also had to keep up those grades and be a great person off the field.
Well, the only thing that I've really – grades is the number one thing. You can be an amazing player, say, on the field, but if you don't have the grades – you can't get into college. Without grades, you can't do anything. That's the number one thing.
And Austin, what do you anticipate moving forward? You've got your senior season when you're going to be playing football for one more year in high school at the highest level you can, and keeping your grades at that high level as well to move on in the college ranks, whether it be at Eastern or Montana Tech, Montana State, etc.
Well, I mean, grades are the number one thing. If you don't have grades, you can't play. And I'm keeping my grades as far as right now. This last semester, I had above a 3.44, and that's the best that I've had throughout my entire high school career. And football motivated me to keep my grades up, because if I didn't have those grades, I wasn't able to play football. So school always came first, then it was football, then other things.
Austin Downs joining us here on The Double. Now, Austin, as an offensive lineman, what do you like best, man? Do you like to pass block or run block?
People have told me that I am an aggressive run blocker, but I like the mixture of it, but our football program is known for run blocking, so I'm more of a run blocking person. I like the running scheme.
Now, with Moses Lake, of course, they kind of, Coach Greg Kittrell has a mix, you know, between passing and running. You guys got a tough schedule coming up this year. I know September 2nd, you're in Pasco against Chawana? Is that how I'm pronouncing it?
Okay. It's Chawana. Yeah.
Okay, it is Chawana. And so, where do you see you guys this year as far as your record is concerned?
Well, Chawana's going to be a tough game because my freshman year, our varsity team made it into the first round of playoffs, and we didn't play too well that game. But ever since then, we've wanted to redeem ourselves against Chawana, and that's all that we've been preaching is beat Chawana, beat Chawana, beat Chawana, over and over and over again.
So, Austin, you're – go ahead.
I think this year, because after this last year, we won league champs for the first time in Moses Lake history. And that's something big. And after we lost all of these seniors, that's going to be a tough thing to achieve, but I know that we can do it again.
Now, Austin, growing up and battling on in the trenches, on the offensive line, on the football field, who have been people in your life that have helped you get to the pinnacle that you're at, to where you've got colleges like Eastern Washington, Montana State, Montana Tech, Carroll College looking at you?
Well, Ryland Spencer has helped me tremendously. Same thing with Dirk Knudsen. Tracy Ford has helped me. Taylor Barton, and also the offensive line coach with Barton Academy, Scott.
And how much has your family sacrificed for the betterment of you in your high school career, not only academically, but in the football realm, to get you where you're at now, to where these colleges are looking at Austin Downs on their offensive line starting in 2017?
Yeah, our year's been filled with football. We constantly drop things just for football because football is a very big thing, especially in our family. Because ever since I'm the first kid to actually be successful in football and actually doing very well. And my parents have pushed me throughout high school, and we've went to many, many camps to get more exposure to help me with colleges looking at me.
Austin Downs from Moses Lake, Washington, Moses Lake High School. Thank you so much for your time tonight. Best of luck as you move forward and make your decision on which college to go to, and keep us up to date when you make that decision. And hey, say hello to your parents for me, Lindsay and Casey, as they move you on to bigger and better things.
Good luck to you, Austin.
Hello.
There goes Austin Downs from Moses Lake, Washington, going in the record book, Sean, for our first guest from Moses Lake.
Yeah, well, you know, Moses Lake, as Austin was saying, you know, they're trying to make some things better. They had a decent season last year. And, of course, with all athletes, they want to make their senior season the best. So the hats off to Austin and the Moses Lake Chiefs going forward this year, and hopefully some great things will happen. I know some great things will happen. I'm hoping that he winds up playing at Ruse Field in Eastern Washington University with Coach Baldwin.
Absolutely. You know, that's a place that I've worked games for ESPN and various networks. And, you know, that field that you mentioned, Roos Field being red, almost copying the blue field at Boise State, but that red field doing good things for the Eagles in Eastern Washington.
Yeah, definitely one of the top teams in NCAA Division I AA. And so, you know, that'd be a great place for Austin to go to. And, you know, he would do a lot, and I mean a lot of pass blocking, because they throw 98% of the time.
Now, Sean, you can relate a little bit to what Austin's going through, not only because you were an assistant coach back in the day at Clover Park High School in Lakewood, your alma mater, but also what you went through as a track athlete coming out of Clover Park in the 80s, going to Eastern Washington and also on to Auburn University. What do you think Austin is going through mentally on which direction he should go, where he might land, and what's best for him and his playing beyond high school?
Well, you know, Austin mentioned, you know, a couple of key points, one being grades and, you know, focusing on that. And it sounds like he has his major, you know, two majors that he would like to pursue. And that's half the battle. The other part, you know, is all he has to do is just go out there, work hard, both academically and athletically, to better his year from last year. And so, you know, the headache part is that he's going to have a lot of schools calling. There's going to be a lot of letters in the mail. Every now and again, he'll get a real big, big, big-time school that'll send him something, like maybe a Michigan State or something that, you know, kind of poke at him a little bit. But for the most part, you know, I think he knows where he wants to go. And so, you know, if it's Eastern Washington, there's nothing wrong with that.
As you would know, somebody who has ties to the Eagles of Eastern Washington.
Yeah, you know, of course, I love whenever Eastern does anything spectacular. And, of course, their football team's doing some great things. And, you know, let's hope that they continue to excel. I know Dave Cook, the athletic director at Eastern Washington and a guest here on the double, has done some awesome things as far as putting Eastern Washington on the map.
Now, of course, great things have come from some players that have played at Eastern, not only because they get their degree and their education, but guys like Vernon Adams moving on to Oregon and getting a tryout with the Seattle Seahawks at quarterback. And then, of course, a couple years ago, you had an Eastern running back doing good things in Oakland with the Raiders.
Yeah, you know, and you know, Eastern Washington has some tremendous talent. One of being last year, or just this past year, in Cooper Kupp. So watch out for him. This is a former Davis High School athlete in Yakima, Washington. He had got the, I believe it was the Fred Biletnikoff Award, either the Fred Biletnikoff Award or the Jerry Rice Award. So this is a dynamic wide receiver out of Eastern Washington. I believe he's went as an undrafted free agent, but whoever he winds up with, I'm going to have to check and see who he wound up with, Sean. But he is going to be awesome for whichever team he winds up with in the fall.
An amazing receiver, and I can't believe he went undrafted, as not only have many of us seen him on ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, but I've seen him personally working Eastern Washington football games for ESPN and the various networks. And that receiver runs precise routes. All he does is catch those passes and score touchdowns. So Cooper Kupp should be doing good things in the NFL.
Yeah, you know, I anticipate that. And, of course, you know, I went to school with his mom, actually, at Clover Park High School. And so, you know, he comes from an athletic family, no doubt. So, Sean, we have two guests in the books. Of course, we had Austin Downs from Moses Lake High School playing for the Chiefs and has 1 year left in his high school career, looking to move forward and head to the next level. And, you know, let's see what happens there. And, of course, we had Matt Murphy on from CBS Sports MLB Insider as guest number one. And so, Sean, it's been a good show, man.
And that's exactly what we try to bring you here on The Double. Two big-time guests, and definitely change it up as we can. Matt Snyder doing good things for CBS Sports and letting us know that the MLB season is a marathon, not a sprint. So even though a team might be looking good one week, the next week could be the exact opposite. And it is a six-month marathon, not just one or two. So even though good things are happening in Texas with the Rangers, the Mariners, they're battling back and forth. The A's kind of started out better than they're looking right now, but heck, there's still, what, 100, 120 games to play. So it's a little early to jump on the bandwagon right now.
Yeah, well, as far as the Oakland A's are concerned, yeah, you can kind of count them out as far as that, any postseason type of a run. But, yeah, you're right. All it takes is a team to catch fire, and normally that happens in the second half of the season. And so you just never know what's going to happen. The Mariners are in a good position right now, one of the top teams in the majors. So let's see if they can keep pace, be injury-free, and keep those bats clicking.
The Mariners, an off day, a travel day today on Monday. They are going far east to Baltimore, Camden Yards. Three games Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday against the Orioles. But it's a Homer Park, and you know one Nelson Cruz is dialed in because that is the last team he played for in 2014. He was a Baltimore Oriole, so you know he wants to show them up. And then the Mariners move on for a three-game set for an interleague matchup with the Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah, the big red machine gets to come into. Is that, are they coming into the safe?
No, sir. That is a matchup along the river there in Cincinnati.
Man, what a beautiful place out there in Cincinnati. But, yeah, you know, Seattle is... they're in a good position. That sounds like an honest schedule that will keep them competitive. And so we'll see, just like you said, you know, we'll have Matt on again and see where the Mariners are at. And hopefully they're making a run toward a pennant.
And let's not forget, as we head on last week, Mike Goff, the head of celebrity promotions, in charge of the celebrity basketball game at Timberline High School, June 18th, a lot of current and former Seattle Seahawks in the mix, and potentially some other sport athletes like, you know, maybe an Isaiah Thomas from the 253, or heck, who knows, maybe a Jonathan Stewart, who went to Timberline where the game will be played, the Carolina Panther currently. And yours truly, the public address announcer at Timberline High School for the celebrity basketball game provided by Celebrity Promotions and Mike Goff.
Yeah, that should be an exciting time for you to get a chance to get around all these professional athletes and get to strut your stuff and be the MC, if you will.
Or take your role as the public address announcer.
Hey, either way, man, yeah, I'm sure you're going to be up there having fun.
Absolutely, that's the name of the game. Bring the entertainment, bring the fun, and smile no matter what you do. Sean Boyd, it's been an excellent show. Two great guests tonight.
Yeah, definitely. Again, we had mentioned Matt Murphy and Austin Downs, and wishing both of them continued success in their professions. And if you'd like to tune in to more of On the Double, you can go to bbsradio.com/DSX. It's been a great show, Sean Wally. So for Doug Newsom in Paradise, California, Sean Wally in the Pacific Northwest, and yours truly here in the EG Studios in Elk Grove, California, you've been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.